Welcome to this week's episode of The Nerdy Rat. This week we'll be talking about giant rodents, Black Panther, and decluttering some of our nerd stash. So here we go.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's the Nerdy Rat.
That's right.
It's now March 4th.
March 4th, but we are going to count this as the second one for February because we're a little behind.
And we'll try to do a really short month.
It is, but we got behind. So yeah, we're going to try to do two for March.
Yeah. So
two more besides this, I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll be back on track. Yes.
If we have enough, is there enough weeks in this month?
We can make enough weeks.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll make it work.
Well, it'll be a tight fit.
It'll be a Tim Gunn moment. So, anyway, what do you want to start with? Some ratty news?
Yeah. So, our four boys that we had that were fosters got adopted.
Yay! All together.
And they got all adopted together by somebody who's been a repeat adopter from Small Angels.
Yep.
So, that's very exciting. We were very happy to see them all go together because they were all very closely bonded, and they're all neutered now too, so we were worried that getting somebody who'd be willing to adopt all four of them together when they're neutered is because it costs more when you adopt them when they're neutered.
Yeah, so we were worried that it might be difficult, but I'm really happy because those boys loved each other so much. Like, we have never had a group where all of them were so interbonded with each other like that. So it's really good that they got to stay together.
They were all really snuggly little boys,
yeah,
too.
They really were. They were just really loved sweet. To snuggle in the hammocks with each other. And they were sweet with people, too.
Yeah, and they got adopted pretty quick. We only had them maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and actually, I think they got adopted only a week after the ad went up because our coordinator didn't even list the ad on the Pet Finder until they had been neutered. So, yeah, we had them a couple weeks before their neuter, and then they were adopted like within a week after that. So,
yeah.
So happy!
That's really awesome. And
yeah, we're really excited about that.
Thank you to everyone who adopts instead of purchasing.
Yes, that's awesome. And make sure you check out, if you're thinking about getting pet rats and you don't have them yet, make sure you check out local rescues in your area. What is that site that has like all the list of the rescues in the United States? Is that the Travelin' Rat?
Is that a charity? Rat Lady.
The Rat Lady?
The Rat Lady.
We'll find it and we'll put a link in our show notes so you can find a list of rescues in your area.
Ratfanclub.org.
Ratfanclub.org.
It's kind of a dated looking site, but the list is up to date. I've actually
emailed
that. That's the same place I got the rat vet.
Oh, okay. What rat vet? For finding Dr. Foster or finding another rat vet?
Yeah, that's how I
found
Dr.
Oh, okay. So, hey, if you need a rat vet as well who specializes in rats, because trust us, typical vets who do not specialize in small animals are useless. Pretty much useless.
And it's they won't always tell you up front
exactly
that how they're experienced useless. They are. So don't ever be afraid to ask them how much experience do you all have with rats. And a lot of times they'll tell you, well, not a lot, but we have things that we do for
not
them.
A lot, but we'll charge you $250 to treat them.
We'll still give it the old college try.
Exactly.
And you generally tend to get subpar care. So
people who don't even know what medicines to prescribe or what their issues are or anything. Yeah. So
sometimes that's all you have though.
So yeah, like depending on where you live, you might not have a lot of options. Yeah, so that's good that list is out there anyway.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about how Toro's been doing?
Yeah, well, you pointed it out, and I've noticed, too, he has been the king of the snuggle pile recently. Now, for those of you who listen, you know Toro is my heart rat. He is my baby. And he had trouble fitting in at first because he had been raised as a single rat, and it took a long time to get him integrated. And even then, he still tended to be a loner in the cage. So it just makes me so happy. Like, everyone is snuggling him lately.
Now, I'm trying to remember, was he was living alone before he came
yes,
to live
for
with
a
us?
Year. A year he had been raised by himself. And then remember, like, him and Pinky fought each other a lot when we first integrated them.
Yeah.
And then he was always like alone and not snuggling with the other ratties. So we used the bonding pouch a lot. So now lately, like I'll see him, he's always like on the top of one of our tube hammocks, and he's got like Fievel and Peter with him, or he's got Nim with him, or sometimes Pinky and some of the other little baby girls. Like they're all just really snuggling him a ton recently.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy.
And I think everybody in the cage has been getting along.
They have.
Better.
They've settled in. I think the little babies who were kind of spoiled when we first started integrating Peter and Fievel and Toro. So to back up. Little ratty history. We have Nim, who had 4 biological babies that we adopted. So her baby girls were spoiled when we first got them because they had 2 older aunties. They had Tippy Toe and they had Doreen. And then we got Athena, who was another old lady. So they had all these old lady ratties just spoiling them and snuggling them and loving on them. And then plus they had their mom. And so then after our older ratties passed, we integrated Toro and Peter and Fievel, and it was a little rocky for the girls. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just fussed a lot, and they were very, they're kind of mean girls, and they just lots of squeaking, lots of protesting. But now it seems like they've really grown up and everybody's doing so much better at getting along. So that's really special.
Yeah. It takes a while sometimes, and mm-hmm. I think everybody's doing pretty well.
They really are, and I think the bonding pouch helps a lot because I snuggle with Toro almost every day in the bonding pouch because he wants to, and then whoever else wants to snuggle will come and also snuggle. And like, yeah. Sometimes not everybody's in the mood for snuggling, like they're sleeping or they're enjoying other activities in the cage. But I think just the consistency of getting snuggled a lot with Toro is making everybody snuggle him more in the cage, you know?
Yeah. And we had to have his teeth trimmed down.
Yeah. I think we did mention that the last podcast.
Yeah. So we had it done again. Did we talk about it last podcast?
I think we did talk about it last podcast, but we have to get it done again. So why don't you explain why it happened in case somebody didn't hear that episode?
He's at an age where he's getting older. And one thing that our vet told us to watch out for is when their teeth start to grow apart, sometimes it makes it hard for them to wear them down on their own because mm-hmm. their teeth grow throughout their life. And the way it's supposed to work is when they chew on stuff, it wears them down.
Exactly.
And if they get older and they can't, and
the teeth get split
on the bottom and they can't wear them down effectively, sometimes they can get really long. And I've had rats where they weren't eating as much and they weren't mm-hmm. as active and they got long, and they can actually start to grow into their upper gum and stuff.
Yeah.
And they can really hurt them. So you want to keep an eye on older rats. It's something you want to check periodically, is mm-hmm. make sure their teeth aren't getting too long. And now our vet, she trims them, and she only charges like $15.
Which is awesome. She is the best ever. If you're in the D.C., Maryland area, she's in Maryland, Dr. Carol Foster.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's really good. She's so we're taking him in now about every 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, so she can check on him and clip him as needed. And
yeah.
Yeah, and that's just a reminder, something you never want to do by yourself at home, because if the rat squirms or jerks or something, the piece that you cut can lodge in their throat and kill them. So you always want a vet to do that.
It's dangerous. And it can go flying, too.
Oh, so.
It's better to let a vet
Let
do
a professional,
it.
Exactly.
Always, anytime you can have a vet do something, it's probably better.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially that kind of stuff. So
you mentioned something you noticed with our other 3 foster girls. So why don't we just remind everybody, our other 3 are Pews. And what was going on with Nova?
Remind me of what I said.
Well, I put it on our outline. You said you thought her back legs might be starting to get weak.
Yeah. So I've noticed when she's walking around, she's dragging her back legs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a common for older rats, is they'll start to... They'll start to lose functionality in the back of their legs, and there's not really much you can do for it because it's just part of getting old.
And it doesn't hurt them.
It's just they kind of drag themselves around, and you just want to make sure that they're in a cage where they can reach everything still, if they can't really, because usually they'll pull themselves around on their front paws when it gets really bad.
So they might not be able to go up and down the ramps as much and certainly not climb.
Yeah. So
they might need the hammocks lower so they can get into them and out of them more easily.
Yeah. Just make sure that they have access to everything they need to have access to with their reduced mobility.
Yeah.
But in general, it's something that happens in some rats as they get older, and there's not really a whole lot to be done for it other than just making them comfortable. And it does, generally, I don't think it hurts them.
No.
They're not in pain from it.
They're not in pain. And we've had rats who've had a really good quality of life for a long time with a degenerative thing.
Who was it that
was
we
had? Was it Kaylee? Or was it Squeaks? It wasn't either of them. Who was it? Was it one of the fosters?
I think it was a foster that we ended up with. Was it Jess? Or
maybe Jess.
No, I think it was one of the other. I can't remember. What's her name? I'm going to have to look at our.
I really thought it was Kaylee.
I don't think it was Kaylee. I think it was. I'm trying to remember her name. Lily?
Well, we've had it in a couple. We've had it in more than one. Yeah, so we
I
might
think
be
Lily
thinking
had
of.
It.
Yeah, I think Lily did have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've had it happen before, and we've had rats that have been quite cheerful and still very active despite that. So
if you see that, you can always
Definitely you might want to have a vet check them anyway, but then
you
don't need to be super concerned about it once a vet has checked them out.
Yeah, it's just part of their getting old. One of the things you have to deal with when they get old.
Yeah.
So So you're going to start your allergy shots tomorrow.
I am.
So I'm going to go with you to.
Yeah. So sure I don't think we talked about what happened with my last allergy adventure. So I had developed allergies to our rats and our cat, which is horrific. We've owned them, ever since I've known Matt. He's had the cat and the rats, and I've lived with him now for 3-4 years and never bothered me. And now all of a sudden I have allergies to them. So as part of the diagnostic process, the allergist was testing me for all kinds of allergies. And I'm apparently allergic to everything, every leaf, every grass, dust. Well, she had to do the mold testing, and I needed 2 EpiPens. So apparently I'm really allergic to mold. And I wasn't necessarily having an anaphylactic reaction, but it was just she had to follow protocol, and my throat was kind of swelling up a little bit and getting numb. And
So
that was an adventure. So I'm a little nervous after that. So in my allergy shots now, what we're doing is to make it safer for me is we're just putting in dogs, cats, rats, and dust and nothing else.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a problem. I think
I hope not. No,
because the shots are not actually as bad as being exposed to the agent itself.
Right.
Because the tests, they're actually exposing you to the thing that makes you have a reaction. Where
but
they
the,
give
shots
you the shots are
too.
Are like a deactivated.
No, the shots are the same thing. It's just more diluted.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if the shots are more diluted than the testing or
I'm
not.
Pretty sure they are.
Maybe they are, but I know what she's doing is she's doing a super dilution to start. She's diluting 1,000 times instead of 100 times.
Right.
Which is what you do for people who are extra sensitive. And then it's going to be a longer buildup period than it normally takes.
I tell you, I believe it does work because I know it helped me.
Oh, yeah. It takes 5 years, though, which I didn't know when you're an adult. It's better if you have kids, by the way. It only takes 2 years and then they're desensitized for life.
I was on it for 2 years.
Yeah, because for kids, it's quicker to desensitize them.
Their
but
immune
for
system
adults,
responds
it's
faster.
5 freaking years. But the thing is, I love our pets. They're our life. And so I would rather get allergy shots every week. For as long
and
as it
I,
takes.
I think
and
we've
then,
been managing it well, even.
Yeah, I've been taking Zyrtec at night, and I have a couple sprays. I do a saline nasal spray, and then I do Flonase. It's definitely been helping, and I've been limiting my exposure to the ratties on my bare skin, but I love them on my bare skin. I love them snuggling me and licking me, so. So anyway, it'll probably be a year before I'm feeling better from the allergy shots, but tomorrow we start.
Yeah, well.
And I'm making Matt come with me because I'm just nervous because I had to get the EpiPen the last time I was in there with the mold testing. So once I've had like one shot and everything's fine and no scary reactions or anything like that, I'm not going to make Matt come and hold my hand. But for the first time, like, I just don't want to be paranoid and, you know, freaking out. So
yeah. I don't think I ever had a reaction to any of the allergy shots.
Yeah. I'm not expecting to, but, you know, just in case.
So you have here local animal news, but this is is this from Maryland?
It is. Well, so it's both. It's something I saw on National Geographic is about these giant rodents called nutria, and they can get up to like 20 pounds, and they're really cute, I think. They're so cute, but apparently they're so bad for the wildlife.
Well, they're saying they devastate. They just eat everything in sight.
They do, and they eat the roots of all the plants and everything. So it's like devastating, you know, your natural ecosystem, which is really bad. I mean, that is really, really bad. Mm-hmm. But I don't like the idea that managing them has to mean killing these adorable rodents.
Yeah. I'm curious where they came from because they said they had like gotten rid of them.
So if you read the National Geographic article, they think they came in like through the fur trade originally, and then people let them go in the wild when the fur trade kind of shut down.
Well,
so
then where did they start from?
The South America. I think they're native to South America.
Oh, okay.
So like in South America, I think there's natural predators and things. So it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I mean, the thing is, most things aren't a big deal in their natural environment, you know.
Because generally they've.
Yeah, because they have natural predators.
With their local system.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're in balance, and there's things in the natural environment that will.
They look like the capybara.
That's what I was thinking. They do look like the capybara, and I was thinking too. They also look similar, kind of, to river otters when their fur is wet.
Yeah.
I just think they look so cute, but yeah, they do look. They do look like capybara, so. Yeah, it's causing a lot of damage in California and Louisiana.
And
apparently.
Maryland apparently successfully wiped them out.
Yes. And now they're gone for good in Maryland. Well, maybe they just trapped them all. rid of them.
They made friends with them.
Yeah. They lured
they
them all into a little retreat.
In a nutria town.
Yeah.
They have.
It's their own little secret society. I don't know. Well, apparently they had not been seen in California in 50 years, but now they're back in California.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah, I saw and they were saying that they're encouraging people to like make recipes with them.
That disgusted me.
Or like
that disgusted me.
Making fur, their fur pot. Like, that just seems like a bad.
That just seems evil. Like, I'm like, do we have to really go there? Like, no, we don't. We don't. These are still living beings, and it's not their fault that they're, you know,
they're just
terribly
hungry.
Destructive. Yeah, they didn't ask to be moved here. They didn't ask. So it says in this article that they were released in Dorchester County, Maryland in 1943. So I don't know. They may have just been released from a fur farm or something. Yeah, somebody brought them in.
Well, that's how they ended up with all the snakes in Florida. Was during Hurricane Andrew, I think it was, there was a facility that had a large number of like exotic snakes that were supposed to be pets. And then they got into the swamp and they just bred like crazy.
Right.
Because it's a swamp and they're.
Exactly.
That's their environment. So.
And now it's a giant mess.
And now it's a giant. Yeah.
Right.
They have a giant problem of all these boas and stuff.
Yeah.
In the swamps of Florida.
Yeah. And actually, this isn't related to rats, but related to local invasive species. There's this big lanternfly bug that's becoming like this devastation. It's been seen in Pennsylvania and it's working its way down to Maryland.
Lanternfly?
It's like this giant spotted bug, and it leaves like a real cruddy, muddy looking thing on a tree, which is actually the egg casing. And if you see it, we'll put links to it in the show notes, because if y'all see it, you're supposed to report it and also scrape it off into a baggie. And it's really bad. It's killing crops and trees, and there's no natural predators. And it feeds on this invasive plant, which has also taken over the local ecosystems. So it's breeding and feeding on the other invasive plants that are already like don't have predators. So it's going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, invasive species are a problem.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they think these came from the plant?
No, they didn't come from the plants. They probably came over like in shipments of something, and the bugs were like, you know, just in shipping, regular shipping, exporting
and
stuff.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately it does.
Especially with how small the world has become.
Well, that's the problem.
You can be on a plane and be somewhere in 20 hours.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, it's a problem. But I hope I don't know, I feel a little bit less bad about killing a bug than I do about killing the rodents. I don't want to even kill the rodents.
I have no issues killing bugs.
No, I just want... I have a few issues killing bugs, but I will still do it.
Like
but
if they're cute bugs?
No, I just feel like, you know, it's kind of like a Buddhist practice to respect all life, and I don't like having to, so I prefer not to. But in the case of these lantern flies, like, they're terrible. Like, you got to do what you got to do. But I am sad about the rodents, though.
Yeah, we got a letter from or a message from a listener.
Yeah, on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
On Facebook.
Did you have it in front of you, or?
Let
me pull it up.
Look quickly and try to find it. It was very nice. It was from, I don't want to say their last name, so don't share their last name. It was from someone named Alexander, who just found our podcast, and let's see. He's just started listening. He's got some little ratties named BB and CC. And yeah, it was just a nice message about him. And he said he's optimizing his little girl's lives, which is very
awesome.
Sweet. Mm-hmm, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently, he got a new cage for them, which is awesome because you definitely want to have a big enough cage for your ratties.
Yeah. Did they say what kind of cage they got?
He didn't say what kind of cage he got. But, in general, a Martin 680 or a single Critter Nation is the smallest size you want to have. And those are, if you look online at how big those are appropriate for like 2 to 3 rats. And then if you're going to have more than that, they have some bigger Martin sized cages, or you could go all the way up to a double Critter Nation, which holds up to 10 to 12.
Yeah. Avoid the rat manor that they try to sell you at PetSmart. That thing is it's just too small in the middle.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any room to run back and forth, and it's got that wire thing on the bottom. It's not...
Yeah, a lot of times the problem with the rat cages are, even if they're tall, there's not enough horizontal space for the rats. So the rats are not necessarily going to be running up and down all the time, and it's not necessarily good to be running up and down on the ramps all the time either. They need, like, a lot of floor space to run around on, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that's why we like the Martin 680. Now, if you do shop at PetSmart, All Living Things has the Critter Nation, which is the same exact thing as the Critter Nation. It's just like the off-brand. But I think it's a similar price. I don't think it's even that much cheaper. But it's the one, it's really nice, the Critter Nations. I like them because both doors swing open all the way so that you have access to pick your rats up very easily.
Yeah, I had the Rat Manor for a while before realized that it wasn't really a good size. And then as soon as I could afford it, I bought the Critter Nation because it's just such a nice cage.
Oh, and the rats love it.
And it's just like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to worry about it. It's easier to clean than a lot of the other cages. And
they
last
the trays
a long
come
time.
Out.
They last a long time too.
Oh
like,
yeah.
The one I have now, like we had the only reason I had to get rid of my first one. Was
yeah,
because,
let's explain.
Because my apartment was infested with
roaches, cockroaches.
And
oh.
I didn't want to bring them into our new house.
Exactly.
So I was trying to clean it, and I got halfway through cleaning it, and I said, "This is not worth it. I'm going to buy another one."
Because the casing, the metal casing is hollow, and the roaches could have been in all of the casing, plus eggs and stuff could have been in the casing.
Yeah.
And so we didn't want to risk bringing it in.
Yeah. Man, I feel sorry for anyone who has to deal with that.
Roaches,
because like the only way we could deal with it in my own place was to move out, and it's because it was an apartment too.
It was an apartment, that was the problem.
When you have your own house and you can control the
exactly
area around it,
and you can get the whole entire house treated. But the problem in that apartment was that they were in the pipes, they were in the walls. Like, the whole building probably should
everybody had that problem.
Yeah,
and
And the apartment kept treating for it, but the problem was that it was in the inside of the walls and the pipes. Like, Yeah, that really just probably just needs to be ripped down. But so yeah. we had to be very careful when moving not to take roaches with us.
Yeah.
And we didn't. We did very good. But you had to like take apart your electronics and stuff.
Oh, I tried to salvage what I could. I ended up throwing away a lot of like kitchen appliances and stuff. Some stuff I would take apart and look at it. And like the TV, I took apart and cleaned it really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only reason I really felt comfortable doing that is because I did PC repair for a long time. So I'm familiar with taking stuff apart and putting it back together. And I basically just cleaned everything with alcohol. And then a lot of it, what I would do is after I clean it really good, I would wrap it in a trash bag.
Yes.
And I kept it in the trash bag for like a month before unwrapping it. And then because that's make sure everything's dead. But yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, it was not that fun. Yeah. But moving on to funner topics, you want to move on to Black Panther?
Yeah, so we saw Black Panther like everybody.
Yes.
And
loved it like everybody.
Yeah,
let's talk about why.
Yeah. So out of all the Marvel movies that have been coming out, this has definitely been one of the better ones.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
In a while. I would rank it up there pretty high among the Marvel movies. And I think it's mostly just the writing. The writing was really strong in this movie. And because it wasn't like, I don't know, like, I remember coming out of there, I was saying, like, you know it's good because they're, like, You're invested in most of the characters.
Yeah, in even that movie. The villains.
And even the villains were like they were
well
developed and they were relatable.
Exactly.
And it was just very nuanced and I feel like that level of writing is kind of not you don't see that enough.
Yeah, it's tragically rare to have a well-written movie or well-written anything, to be honest. And it was really good. Like, what I really liked is that, you know, halfway through the movie or so, I was a little worried that the plot was just going to be about the thefts and the arms dealer and that Australian guy. And then all of a sudden, spoilers, by the way, all of a sudden it turns into, like, this really personal family drama. And I thought that was so nice.
I thought Claw was going to be, like, the villain for the whole thing. And then
I did, too. And I was like, oh, I feel like this is kind of a weak plot. I'm not sure. And then it turned out to be so weighty. And I felt like it really addressed, too, like, the question of T'Challa's origin, like what kind of king does he want to be and how does he want Wakanda to relate to the outside world, you know?
Yeah, and it wasn't that predictable.
No.
Like there were some things that were like, yeah, okay, but a lot of it was like at least the first time watching it, like you didn't see a lot of the stuff coming that happened. It was just
no, and we hadn't been reading the reviews or anything, so we were deliberately trying not to get spoilers ahead of time.
We didn't get to see it till like 3 or 4 days after it came out because we had to wait a week.
Yeah, because it was sold out Sunday night.
We tried to go see it on Sunday, and we thought
the weekend
we'd get our
out.
Tickets while we were eating lunch.
Yeah.
And I go to get tickets and there's no seats left.
Yeah, not even. No, it was President's Day the next day. But even the following weekend, we were like, all right, we'll go on a Sunday because the next day is not a holiday. We still got like some of the last tickets at the last showing.
Well, yeah,
on Sunday night.
I was like in the morning. I was like, well, I'll get the tickets now.
Yeah.
And I was looking at tickets for like 5 or 6 o'clock and they were all sold out. And so the earliest I could get was like 8:45 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. But I'm happy. Like, I'm excited. It's doing so well.
Yeah. I think it's also because all those theaters are doing the assigned seats now and they've all replaced all their seats with those nice luxury ones. Mm-hmm.
But then there's fewer seats.
And I think because of that, there's fewer seats. Available.
But I have to say, I'm enjoying that because, like, at the particular theater, we saw it at Arundel Mills in Maryland. You couldn't see the people in front of you at all because of the nice little wall by
you
your
don't
feet.
Have, so you don't have to deal with looking at their cell phones.
Exactly. If anybody was being a jerk and looking at their phone, you didn't see it.
I'm getting to a point where if we could pay $40 to stay home and watch it, I'd almost prefer to
But I don't want to stay home. I just would like to pay $40 to have an empty theater. Like, I can't stand. And I used to be a public school teacher, y'all. Matt will testify. I have yelled at people in the movie theater when the people nearby them aren't correcting them. Like, do you remember we were at, what movie were we seeing where those people were talking in the front row? It was a recent one. What have we seen recently?
I don't even remember what it was.
But these people were talking in the front row, like, loudly. And we were way up, like, two-thirds of the way up. And there were so many people closer to them. Nobody shushed them.
It was a full theater, too.
It was a full theater. Oh, it was Jumanji.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It
was Jumanji.
Jumanji.
And nobody's shutting them up. And I hollered at them in my public school voice because I was like, oh, my God, I can't even enjoy this movie because I can hear every word of what you're saying.
I think I'm getting old and grouchy just because.
But you know
I'm
what?
Like,
people are getting ruder, too.
Like these kids today and their
cell
phones.
But they were adults. Those were adults, though. Yeah. Those were adults. Well, but, I just don't have the patience.
The problem is, everybody has a smartphone now, and everybody's on it 24/7. And it's
but
like,
you know what? The problem is really just that people are inconsiderate, and I think people are more inconsiderate.
Oh, that's absolutely
now.
It. But I think they've always been inconsiderate, but it's way more noticeable now that they have these phones
that
are so bright.
In the 80s, right, and the most you could do is talk in a movie theater.
Well, like
and
even,
now you
even
can do
in
a
the
lot
late
more.
90s, early 2000s, you had a flip. It's like you weren't like.
Right, a flip phone.
Even if you were, like it was a little dinky little screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't that bright, and it just wasn't done. Nowadays, it's just like everybody is on their phone on like constantly, so it's
but
like,
I think it's like a bigger societal problem. It's just that people don't have respect for like common
Well, like when I go into a movie, I like I turn my phone off once I go in there. Like I don't know, I just don't want I would feel uncomfortable being on my phone like that with people around me because I know it would be annoying to them.
So that's why I got no patience. And I don't have patience for people sitting close to them who don't say anything either. I'm just like, no. The teacher in me is like, no. If no one corrects you and you don't feel ashamed and embarrassed, you're going to keep doing it. So I'm going to correct you.
Yeah. But they didn't say anything after you said that.
I know, because someone had hollered at them from up at the top of the movie theater to shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But yeah, it stopped the problem. And I think everyone in the theater was glad.
Yeah. But yeah, Black Panther was good though.
Yes, like, and I loved all the strong women characters. Like they were awesome. I'm trying not to use a curse word because there is a word I want to say to describe them, but they were freaking awesome. And I really liked like the warriors, you know, and like the general was like really smart and clever.
Oh yeah, and the rhino.
Yes, I liked it.
When
the
rhino's charging the
rhino
guy's girlfriend, and he just stands in front of her.
Yeah,
or he just stands in front of the, she stands in front of the rhino, and the rhino licks her like, "Hello."
Yeah, he's like, "Hello, mommy." Hello, that was cute. But yeah, like I liked all the characters a lot, and I thought it was very well developed for all of the characters.
Yeah, they had a good team.
They really did. And
movie.
I really liked the costumes, too. The costumes were good.
The
they were very authentic,
cool.
But they were, like, really nice. I really liked
them. The movie felt pretty authentic, I think.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I definitely think so. So,
you know, and I kind of went in this not really knowing much about Black Panther at all. Like, I knew Wakanda was a country. It was a country in Africa, and they were, like, technologically advanced, and that was, like, all
right.
I knew.
That's where the vibranium came from.
Yeah.
But,
so like, but because I never really read any of the.
Okay. So
the
let
comics.
Me talk a little bit about the Ta-Nehisi Coates run, because I did get those. I was excited for those because I've read some of his books, his nonfiction books, and I've liked them. But I have to say, I did not like his run. Now, maybe he got better. It was his first time writing comics. But I felt like he was trying to have too many concurrent storylines in one single issue of a comic. And I was like, first of all, I don't even know who these people are. Because you have to think, like, as a comic writer, people might be jumping into this series not having read any other Black Panthers. So he didn't explain who any of the characters were. And then trying to have, like, four different storylines, that means you can only devote, like, two page spreads per storyline in one issue. Like, it's too much for a single issue of a comic. I felt like he was approaching it as a novelist and not like as a comic writer.
Yeah.
So I would hope that's something he improves on.
Well, also because his run started with Black Panther number one, you would think you'd want to start the story at a place where somebody could pick it up who hasn't read, doesn't know the history of Black Panther.
Exactly. And so I feel like some of that, too, is just his lack of experience as a comic writer. The art was awesome. Loved the art. You know, and I I really wanted to like it so much because I know how passionate he is about comics and about Black Panther. And, you know, I was really, really rooting for him. But I was like, I got the first four issues and I'm like, I can't follow what's going on. Like, I'm not a dumb person, but I cannot understand the story at all. You know, like, I just couldn't follow it.
Yeah, I was trying to read it the other day and I like got a couple pages in,
right?
And then like got that's like see, I don't want to keep going. I'm gonna read something else.
It's too confusing. But the movie was great. The movie was not confusing at all. You could follow perfectly what was happening and you were invested in it. So
yeah, and it was paced really well too.
Yeah,
like,
it really was.
It was a long movie.
It was over two hours,
but it didn't feel like a long movie.
Yeah, because I think they did a nice balance of like interpersonal drama and then action and humor a little bit mixed in. It wasn't really a humor, a comedy, but it was, you know, you still had like your funny little moments, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one thing about modern like filmmaking and television is kind mm-hmm. of like they've kind of understand that like humor is important to anything.
Yeah, because it's like part of life. Of like, you can't cut out a major part of life.
I've been watching ER for the first time on Hulu.
Wait, it's the first time you've ever watched ER?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you never watched ER. So I didn't understand that.
It's real interesting, though, because ER was such a straight drama.
It was heavy.
It was like every time, like any time that you could break tension with comedy a little bit, they just don't do that.
Exactly.
They're just like,
that is
like,
true.
Like there was like a part where like somebody's like about to commit suicide and then you're like, it's real. And then they just kind of jump off and the guy goes, no. And then nothing. And then it's just like deadpan. Like just nothing. Like no.
ER is a very intense show.
It was just
time.
So intense.
Exactly.
It was just like I thought it was gonna be like a long drawn out dramatic scene where he talks down at the ledge, just jumps and dies. I'm like,
yeah. It's,
whoa.
It was a heavy pace. It was a heavy show, and I think it stayed heavy.
I think it seems like it's trying to go for heavy realism.
Yes, and it stays that way for the whole run.
Yeah, because I was kind of like, because I had watched Grey's Anatomy before, and that's kind of more.
That's, I think, more human in that it's got the.
More humorous.
Yeah, but I would say human, too, because humorous is part of the human experience.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like Grey's Anatomy does a better job of being more realistic about the wide range of emotions that people feel, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like in ER, they're just trying to be intense all the time.
Yeah, it was just kind of
kind of
it's a stark
good show. I mean, I watched it a lot when I was in college, but
yeah, I'd never really been interested in medical dramas before.
Watch House though, right? Isn't that medical?
House is different though. I mean, it is a medical drama, but
but
it's more.
And you watch Grey's Anatomy.
I know. Well, I mean, Grey's Anatomy was the first one.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then I watched House.
Okay.
But I didn't really count House because House was, I don't know.
See, I haven't watched
different.
House, but it's more about him being House than
it's
about.
More of him just being a smart aleck.
Yeah.
Like, than
about like medical drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right.
But yeah. But. Anyways, I like Black Panther. I'm looking forward to any more movies that they do. I'm excited for Infinity War. It's going to come out on my birthday.
Well, close to your birthday.
Yeah.
But worth that weekend.
Around the time of my birthday.
Yes. So that'll be a perfect activity.
So we're going to be seeing
that.
For
a couple of nerds.
Yeah. So they announced on Twitter that it's going to be coming out a week early.
Yeah, that's weird.
Do you see how they did that?
No. You told me about it.
It was like a back and forth between like Marvel or Disney or something.
Uh-huh.
And what's his name? Tony Stark's actor.
Iron Man?
Yeah, but what's
do you mean the actor Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. He was like a back and forth between the two of them. He was like, "Hey, let's see
like
it a week
staged
earlier."
One?
Yeah,
but it was staged. That's
it was
lame.
It was definitely staged.
That's
but
stupid.
It was cute. If you read the interaction, it was cute.
I'm sure it was cute, but I'm still like, like if they had done it with like a fictional Iron Man Twitter account, that would have been something. Like if they had actually had like a Tony Stark Twitter, but like if they're just doing it with the actor, like, come on now. Come on now.
Well, it's kind of hard to distinguish him from his character.
Well, I know. That is true. He does seem very Tony Stark-like.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There was a really cute clip of him giving a kid with a prosthetic arm one of those computer printed Iron Man
one,
arms.
Iron Man one, yeah.
Yeah, he was really, really sweet.
He does a lot of cool stuff like that.
Yeah,
all the
he
time,
seems
too.
Very humble. And I think, too, partly because he's in sobriety and he's been in sobriety for so long, like, he just strikes me as a very humble person because I don't think that's something you can maintain without a good dose of humility, you know?
Yeah. He made the character of Iron Man because before the movie came out, nobody cared about Iron Man.
Yeah, like and, who? Yeah.
You know, like nobody would have been like, you were like, what do you think of Iron Man? It's
like who's Iron Man?
The comic book? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's okay.
I love Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
He's great. I love him as Iron Man. I like his other movies.
Yeah. So. Yep. I'm excited for Infinity War.
Yeah, me too. And I'm curious to see what role the other characters will play in it, because at this point there's so many characters on the table.
My only worry about Infinity War is that there's going to be too much going on. Like
that, I know.
Like the second Avengers,
exactly.
The Age
That's
of Ultron,
kind of my worry too.
Where they had like so many stories.
Because
that
at this
just...
point they're up to like 25 characters.
Yeah, and they're going to have the Guardians in there.
Exactly,
too.
The Guardians are coming. Black Panther's coming.
You know,
he's going to be
I
in
imagine
it. Like
Adam Warlock's going to be in it because
plus
he was
Thanos
teased
is,
at the end of Guardians.
I mean,
and he's a crucial character in the Thanos storyline.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So I'm concerned it's going to be a mess, is my concern.
Yeah.
We'll see. But, you know, I almost think it would be better if they would just keep all the Avengers from Civil War locked in prison and let the rest of them deal with Thanos. Because it would be less characters on the storyboard.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that they'll realize that you don't have to have a character arc for every character that you put in your story.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to promote a movie for every superhero that appears in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think was kind of the problem with Age of Ultron, where you had, like...
Exactly.
You know, like, they had stuff for Thor Ragnarok that nobody cared about.
Right.
I don't even think related to the movie at all.
No, I don't think so either.
Because it was, like, some... Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Anyway.
So
speaking of the Ta-Nehisi Coates comic books, I've decided I'm doing like a big decluttering. I'm into the KonMari method now, which is by Marie Kondo. It's this book she wrote, like The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up is, I think, her book. And then KonMari is her name and she turned it into her brand. So anyway, as part of that, you go through by categories and declutter, and I'm on comic books and I just am like, I have too many. Like, of course, I'm keeping some of my favorites. Like, I have the complete Convergence run in single issues. So I'm keeping, and I worked hard to get that. Let me tell you, I was hunting at Comic Cons and I had to order a couple online because I only just got into Convergence was actually what got me into collecting comics. Because I found in the dollar bin, like, the Catwoman issues, and I was like, oh, I really like this. And then I was like, oh, it's a thing. Let me start getting more of them. And then I started getting more and more and more.
That's how
you
it
know?
Happens. And
it is.
Then the completionist.
It is. Exactly. Like... Exactly. Well, and then part of it was I don't want to get the trade paperbacks when I've already gotten so many of the single issues, because then I'd just be overlapping and stuff, you know? So yeah, I have the complete Convergence run, which I'm keeping. And then at the last Comic-Con we were at, I started collecting a lot of the Carol Danvers appearances in the old comics. So before she was Ms. Marvel, when she was just Carol Danvers, I was getting all of those. So a lot of her appearances are in the original Captain Marvel when it was Mar-Vell. And then she's in some of the other issues, too. And I got some of the good ones too. I think I got the one where Rogue steals her memories.
Oh yeah,
we
both
I got
had
some
that
expensive
because
ones.
That was I think we both bought it at the Comic Con.
Yeah, we
because that was like the Avengers annual, I think.
Yeah, I think
like
so.
Avengers annual,
and you wanted it for
something.
Some reason, right? Did you want it for the Rogue?
I think I wanted it because it was the first appearance of Rogue.
Oh, it was the first appearance of Rogue too.
Yeah, she started out as a villain, and
right?
Yeah, that there's a bunch of like really nice comic books I got that year. Like I got the first
got
appearance
of, nice
of Squirrel Girl.
Oh yeah,
and
you got
got
was that when you
old,
got the Phoenix one?
Yeah, I got a bunch of the Phoenix? Old X-Men and
yeah.
Spider-Man ones, like
yeah.
from the '50s and sixties.
And I got a lot of the Mar-Vell ones, and I got a hardback of the Death of Captain Marvel, which was the Marvel. But I got the artist and the writer were there, and I got both of them to sign it, which was pretty cool. And then the artist guy drew a little picture of Thanos in it for me with his Sharpie. It was really cool. Did you
end up getting the first appearance of Carol Danvers?
I'm not sure if I have her first appearance.
We were looking for that, and I thought we found one, but I think it was like overpriced.
Was it?
I think it was.
I have to look at my list because I had a list, of course, the completionist that I was going through, and I'm not sure if I got her first appearance, but I got a lot of the key ones. I got the one where she got the lightning bolt costume, the first one with the lightning bolt costume. I have a lot of the key ones. I have the ones where she gets her powers. So
we used to buy comics every month, and we'd spend like $100 each on comic books. And this was back when the Marvel reboot. The all new, all different had just started. And
I'm getting rid of a lot of those, honestly. Like, Matt has a complete set of like number ones for some of them, but
I have a lot of the number ones. I by no means have a complete set. I have almost a complete set of the Spider-Gwen series.
Yeah, because I think that's perfect. Like, you, like, that's my Carol Danvers. You know, like, you, is it Danvers or Danvers? I'm getting confused now because of, I think it's with an S. I'm getting confused from Supergirl because their name is Danvers on Supergirl, but I think Spider-Gwen, like, that's perfect for you because you really love the stories and you love the character, and that's a fun thing to, like, collect all of them up. Plus, they're new, so, I mean, aside from the variant covers, it's pretty affordable. You know?
The variant covers are done. I don't like variant covers anymore. I mean, some of them are cool, but it's just, like, it's gotten out of control.
Well, that's kind of the thing, too, and I felt like I was out of control with my comics. Like, I had 8 short boxes. Not all of them were full, but, I mean, I'm down to 3 now, and the third one only has a few in it.
Well, I'm happy I have, like, the full run of Spider-Gwen, plus I have Spider-Man 31, which was the first appearance of Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, that's really cool you got that.
So I'm pretty happy with that collection, and there's a few variant covers I'm missing, and I just stopped caring.
Exactly. Like, you can only do so much. So I was getting rid of comics, and why don't you talk about what you decided to get rid of some of?
So I was going through my old Magic cards, and my friends at work had been playing Magic, and they had talked to me about it.
Yeah.
And so I ended up watching a bunch of, like, Magic YouTube videos, people, like, opening packs and stuff and going through. And
that's kind
of
cool.
I saw some of the cards that they were like, oh, this is worth this and this is worth this. And I was like, I have some of those cards.
Ooh,
so
yeah,
I went through and I was like, all right, I haven't played this game in 10 years.
Right.
I don't see myself playing it in the foreseeable future.
Right.
And I know I have some valuable cards, so I'm just going to go through and pick out the ones that are like $4 or more and just sell them.
Yeah,
and so I sold them to this website that buys cards, and
do you know the name of the website?
It's Card Kingdom.
Card Kingdom. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, but so I just ended up selling all my cards to them. Well, not all of them.
Well, you kept
like
a couple decks if you want to play.
I kept like a couple boxes worth of cards and some decks to play with if I want to. But I sold like 50 cards. It came to a total of like almost $1,000.
Isn't that awesome? I'm excited about that.
Yeah. I was kind of shocked, actually. Yeah. I don't think I ever really spent that much on it, but I'm sure I did, at least
that much. Because I used to be into the Star Trek The Next Generation customizable card game. Oh my God, I spent so much money on that. And I didn't even, once they started getting into the expansions and all that, it was too much with the rules. And I was just done with it.
Yeah, and it's what's sad too, is this is just the collection I've started since 2006, because I lost all my stuff in 2006. Yeah. And I had a larger collection back then too that I probably could have gotten.
And that's
more
the thing.
For.
It's like, it's kind of hard to get rid of the comic books when you think about how much you've spent on them. And the whole decluttering thing with KonMari, it's just like, it forces me to face how much I've spent on things I don't use and don't need and don't want.
Yeah,
but in a way, it's good because it's supposed to be transformative so that it'll change my shopping habits in the future, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I probably would be up for getting rid of some of my comic books if they were easy to sell as the Magic cards were.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know how good I feel about just dumping the comics at the thrift store. And I listed a couple on eBay, but I think it's going to be a major pain to try to box them up and ship them, even if they do sell, you know? Like, I just feel like it's going to end up being more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
That's the
problem. Wish...
Like, yeah, you can get so much money for it, but you got to sell
can
it on
you
eBay.
You exactly.
Gotta, you got to mail it.
You got to store it while you're hoping it sells.
There's no dispute over it.
That's exactly.
That's a pain. I like the magic. Like, magic is good because there's always people buying it because it's a game that people actively play.
Right, people actually are playing it.
Whereas, like, comic books are, like, a collectible thing. They're, like, cool, but...
And then the market's kind of oversaturated right now with some of the ones I want to get rid of anyway.
Yeah, it's like...
And I was the kind of person, I liked trying different series, so I would just go to the dollar boxes and go crazy, trying like all this random crazy stuff, like from indie presses and stuff like that. So I have a lot that I'm getting rid of, because I didn't end up liking much of that.
Yeah, it's like, if
run.
You're not, like, a lot of this stuff is available digitally now. Anyways,
that's it,
so
too.
It's like,
that's it, too.
Functionality-wise, comic book doesn't have, it's all collected, it's all what somebody values it at.
Right. Like, now, for me, I actually like the physical experience of owning like a single comic paper issue and like flipping through it and reading it, but I want to read it. I don't care about it as like preserving it. Like, I'm not gonna mess it up and crease it and stuff like that, but I don't care about getting it graded. And
kind of the trap I fall into is like, when I see it's worth money, then I'm like, oh, this is worth money, I want to save it and preserve it.
No,
and
I'm like, no, if it,
but it's not like a dollar bills, it's just, it's only worth what you can make somebody pay for it.
Exactly.
So if nobody's interested in buying it, you're just stuck with a bunch of comic books.
And also, most of the people who are buying are dealers anyway, and they're going to give you a subpar, not a subpar price necessarily, but they're going to have to make a profit on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to try to resell it. So
I mean, that's
like,
what Card Kingdom did, because they gave me less than what the cards are worth. But I can sell all my cards all at once to them.
Exactly.
And be done with it.
Exactly.
And not have to.
Yeah, I
post
think if
50
my
50 separate
eBay
auctions.
If my eBay stuff doesn't sell after the first week of listing, I'm not going to relist it. I might try to take them. There's a shop in Columbia that looks like they buy, so I might email them about it. And if they're not interested, then I guess I'll just thrift store. But it's like, I have too much stuff. We both have too much stuff. I got to get my house clean, you know?
Yeah.
I need less stuff in my life.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we've been working on that, sacrilegious though it may seem to some.
Well, I mean, eventually you get to a point where it's like, is this, like...
Is this...
You know, like, yes, you still enjoy the thing, but, like, are you actively using it?
Exactly.
Or is it just sitting in a box in your room taking up space?
And that's the thing. It served its purpose. For a dollar per issue, I had fun buying them and reading them and enjoying them. And I'd say that served its purpose.
Yeah, I think thought kind of is going to become, if I can't, like, display it or play with it, then maybe I should just get rid of it.
Exactly. Yeah, so. That's what I'm on to, so...
Yeah, so...
Now, you had some gaming stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, I picked up Subnautica.
Now, what's that?
So, it's a survival game.
Okay.
And it's all... You basically crash land on this aquatic planet, and you just have
you
to survive.
Oh, you were talking about that another episode, right?
Yeah,
they made another game that you liked, right?
Yeah,
oh, so you finally got it.
Yeah, so I picked it up and I bought it.
Now, what was the other game that they made that you did like?
Natural Selection. Natural Selection 2.
Okay. So you did get Subnautica. So give us a review.
So, I've only played a couple hours of it.
Okay.
But so far, it's been really good.
Oh,
and
cool.
Like, the graphics are really good.
Oh, nice.
The game runs really well.
Yeah.
It's not too hard. Like,
now
I haven't gotten much into the story aspect of it, but from what I understand, it there is more of a story to it. But you're basically just, you land and you're in this escape pod, and you gotta like go catch fish and make food and make water, and
that's kind of awesome.
And you're trying to harvest, like you gotta harvest, you gotta find metal and stuff to make tools.
Oh, I think I would like that. Now, is it hard or is it like you can die a lot?
Well, they've got
I don't like games
where
I can die.
They've got hard modes, and then they got like ones where like. If you die, you just return, or they have like a free play mode where you can just do whatever you want.
But then there's no story for that mode.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because I would like to have the story, but like not.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like Starbound, but all.
But Starbound was too hard for me. Yeah. Like, I liked the concept, but I could not beat those killer zombies in, like, the first hard level you get to. And I just got so frustrated. And then I kept dying too, and that made me angry. And. Yeah. If it was easier, I would like it.
Yeah. You might want to check out the free play mode.
Yeah, you could let me play it on your computer for a little bit on the free play just to test it out. And then if I like it, maybe I'll get it.
Yeah, it's cool. If you like survival games, definitely check it out. It's great graphics.
I do like the concept, yeah. And if other people like it, yes, check it out. Subnautica. And then talk about the Steam thing you got for the Retro Room.
So I bought a Steam Link a while back when it was on sale. They had a sale on it for $20. It's basically just a box that you can hook up to a TV.
Uh-huh.
And then it connects to your computer and allows you to play games on your TV.
From Steam, right?
Basically, the game is running on your PC,
uh-huh.
but it's displaying on your TV.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't really understand how it worked.
What I did was I hooked it up in the Retro Room.
Explain our Retro Room, by the way.
So our Retro Room is just a smallish room that's got a bunch of bookshelves and an old CRT TV and all the old gaming systems.
Exactly.
Hooked up to it.
It's like Matt's office, if you will.
So, and it's got a couple chairs in there.
Yes, gaming chairs and
but,
recliner and, you know.
And, so I got an HDMI downscaler, I guess you would call it. It basically, you put in HDMI and then it outputs AV signal.
So that's how
it
hooks up to the TV.
So I can hook it up to the CRT TV.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
So we can play computer games on our CRT.
Yes.
Which they won't look good, but like simple games like Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers. That's like our favorite game to play together. That was what we played on our honeymoon.
Was it?
Yes. You could tell we're nerds, y'all, because that's what we did on our honeymoon. We played Castle Crashers together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I haven't really tested it with a game yet, but I got it running. And
well, I think we will have to have a Castle Crashers date.
Yes, we will have to do that.
Yes.
And we're going to see Bon Jovi.
And I wrote on the show notes, I was like, that's not nerdy at all. That's like hardcore awesome. Like, we can't even call that nerdy news. That's just like awesome news.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bon Jovi. I heart Bon Jovi.
Yeah. And
so
the cool thing is we got free albums when we bought the tickets.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So I mean, the tickets were expensive enough for the cheap seats. I mean,
we
still
paid like over $60 for the
per seat. Yeah. But and he's coming into DC in May, so that's when we're gonna go see him. And but yeah, we got a free CD of the latest album, This House Is Not For Sale, which I wanted to listen to anyways, and I hadn't got around to buying yet. So that was nice.
I find it so ironic that it's called This House Is Not For Sale, and as you're spending $60 to $100 on tickets.
Well.
It's like, well, the house is kind of on sale. It's kind of for sale. Let's be real.
Maybe Bon Jovi's house.
Yeah. Maybe
his metaphysical house of music.
Yeah.
It didn't say this CD is not for sale.
Well, yeah, but like
this,
we say
track
this house,
is not for
I'm
sale.
Thinking like, the house that you're playing.
Yeah, that's because you haven't listened to the song. The song is very touching.
I'm sure it is.
It's like all Bon Jovi songs. It's about perseverance in the face of trials and not losing your spirit.
Just being a small town boy.
That's right. With a big town heart.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can tell I'm excited about that. And Matt likes Bon Jovi too, so that worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep you posted when we go to the concert in May.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be exciting. Yeah, I've seen Bon Jovi twice. Have you ever seen Bon Jovi?
No, I haven't seen Bon
I haven't seen him since Richie left the band. So I'm excited to see how it goes with the new people in the band.
Who's Richie?
Richie Sambora, the guitarist.
Okay.
Oh, what kind of Bon Jovi fan are you?
Not.
But you like the music. You like some of the songs.
I like his songs. I'll mm-hmm. sing them on the on Rock Band. But
Yeah. But you're not as much of a fan as your wife is.
No, clearly not.
Clearly not.
All right, everybody. All right. Well, that about does it for this episode of the Nerdy Rat.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah. If you like our podcast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. If you like our podcast, we have a couple charities that we love that we would love for you to donate to. One is who we foster rats with, Small Angels Rescue.
It's a Frederick County, Maryland-based 501c3 nonprofit, no-kill, all-volunteer organization dedicated to rescuing and rehoming gerbils, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, and rats.
Yes.
And Extra Life unites thousands of players around the world in a 24-hour gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
And Matt streams to support our DC Children's Hospital.
Yeah, once a year I stream for 24 hours.
Yes.
And I stick to that schedule every year.
That's right. He's being a little sarcastic. But he does do a total of 24 hours.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. We'll see you next time.